Well, I'm back on the road and a month away from go time to make a baby, baby. On the podcast this week, my good friend Senor talking big stuff about this important decision. It's my unconventional life. Clap, clap, clap.
I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach. And not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So, I'm in my room in Chicago. It's about 7 a.m. and I've already been awake a couple of hours as I woke up still on UK time. Feeling somehow calm, a little nostalgic for no particular reason. Great show last night. I think the mindfulness meditation has been helping me with that too. To be honest, I'm not sure I've ever felt such a time in my life when I've been as positive, open, and blessed with so many genuine, wonderful friendships and experiences. It's perhaps the best I ever could have hoped for my life. Eri has done the math, checked with an ovulation kit this month, and so it looks like the 20th next month will be go time for my little swimmers. Oh, I do hope they're up for the job. I've been trying to keep them on their toes every second day, like Eri suggested. What an awesome euphemism that is. Eri even texts me to remind me, and is keen to help out whenever necessary. She's certainly committed. I did start to feel some concerns on the trip, though, about emotions from being intimate with Eri. I think it has certainly developed a stronger bond and rapport between us, which isn't a bad thing in and of itself. My only concern is how that will affect our parenting relationship long term. But in talking to Eri about it, she explained that it's not the worst thing in the world to have a child with someone you love. She hasn't changed her views on the nature of our relationship. She says she misses me sometimes, but a lot of people say that. And that too isn't a bad thing. She said I should just let things happen organically without trying to place restraints or labels on things. And I think she's right. Because for a lot of my life, I did the exact opposite. You know, I tried to control my actions and emotions so much that I perhaps missed out on things and also endured a lot more stress than I needed to have done. I shouldn't fight to keep or avoid certain things, and instead, again, let life tell its story. I mean, to me, isn't that the whole point of non-monogamy? To allow yourself to act openly and freely, albeit kindly, to your true nature at that moment in your life. I did, however, have somewhat of a brush with irrational jealousy, which was quite amusing. When we were flying back from England, while we were waiting for the flight, we stopped in one of the airport lounges, and Eri went to get some food while I sat and read a book, and after a while I noticed that she hadn't come back yet. And literally, my first thought was, perhaps she's taken some guy in one of the shower rooms and fucked him. It's hilarious how the testosterone-fueled mind works. Now, I, of course, realized how ridiculous a thought that was. And in fact, I actually felt happy that I'd had it, because it means my imagination is still working pretty well. And it made me understand a little bit more the emotions of those typical alpha males who are always so jealous and overbearing about their girlfriends. Well, I understood the emotion, Because as I'm reading about in another of Mark Manson's books, you can't control your emotions. The more you try to deny or stop them, the more you'll actually propagate them in your mind. What you can control, however, is your behavior and how you respond to those emotions. Like when I feel more rational jealousy, I just sit there and I watch it in my head. I recognize and I accept it. I tell myself, "You're feeling jealous." And then, slowly, it starts to fade and dissipate. I fucking love my life. I've realized, actually, since I've been back, that kissing is fun. Not just that in and of itself, but that sometimes just kissing is fun and nice and freeing and free of a lot of the issues that can come with getting naked and rubbing bits with someone. It harks back, perhaps, to a simpler time in your life, and perhaps makes you feel a little of that same youthful joy you felt at that age. Just saying, give someone a kiss. Just a kiss. Make someone smile. The interview this week is with a very good friend of mine, who we're calling Signor, because he's from Ireland. He's someone whose opinion and friendship I value greatly, even if sometimes he says things I don't like to hear, which is actually why I like him. He talks openly on the podcast about opening up his relationship and some of the difficulties it presented. I truly admire his courage to do so, and I think it speaks volumes about his authenticity. I think it's brave, both to do it and to talk about it. He also makes some great points about my plans to move forward with becoming a parent. Like always, we just have a good time chatting. What do you say, Signor? Okay, Signor in the house, finally on the podcast. Como estás?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. I'm excited to be here and chat about your unconventional life.
Well, not just my unconventional life.
Yeah, and mine as well. We'll just body back and forth and talk about who's doing a better job at it right now.
Yeah, you certainly seem to be. So here's the thing. We talked about this sort of stuff probably a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that. And at the time, I think it's fair to say you had somewhat of a different viewpoint than you do now.
Yeah, definitely less practical experience.
Right.
And also I think that I struggled with some of the like conceptual ideas of it. And now that I've experienced it, I know what I may not agree on entirely on some of the things. I've sort of been through some of it now, so I can see, at least for me, what works and what doesn't work.
Right. And I think this certainly speaks to the idea of throwing out terms like polyamory and non-monogamy and expecting people to understand it and open a discussion versus talking in broad general terms once you've got to know someone. I think there's more value in that. But to backtrack, when we did talk about a year, year and a half ago, you were sort of erring me on the side of monogamy being more of a valid choice for me specifically, right?
Well, kind of. So my feeling, and it to some degree maintains today, is that you always sort of present yourself as boyfriend material, for lack of a better phrase. And it's just your nature, right? It's just what comes natural to you. So it's easy for you to want to cuddle with a woman, want to hold her hand, want to be sweet to her, want to treat her to things, take her, more than just bedroom behavior. Where that could potentially become a problem is that your partner in this scenario might find herself wanting to be, you know, more exclusively attached to you because of all these amazing things that you bring to the table, right? Versus, I think, conceptually, people have an easier time understanding when someone just wants to have sex with them and other people and not want to get too serious.
Right, yeah. But as we said, you know, when I talked to you in the past, I didn't feel like either of those two ends of the scheme worked for me.
Right.
You know, casual sex just wasn't really there, and deep, meaningful, monogamous, lifelong relationship didn't really make sense for me either, and I just felt like there was something in the middle that did make sense. The question was whether it was practical, whether it was reasonable and feasible in a city like Los Angeles. Now, at the time, and still now, you are married.
Yep.
I didn't know at the time, but speak as much as you're comfortable speaking about it. the sexual side of your marriage was fading out or had faded out?
Well,
or?
I think the better terminology to use for it is that we were on a different sort of wavelength in terms of frequency.
Yeah.
Mine being very high, hers for many reasons being in a low period. And so, you know, I think most couples will go through this and they'll try to figure out ways to address the situation in a way that both people feel comfortable with. And over a number of years, about 2 or 3 years, one of the things that we have attempted is opening the relationship on some level. And it's not an easy process.
Sure.
There's a lot of communication that occurs. There's a lot of missteps that occur. There's a lot of changing of rules, introduction of rules, introduction of information, removing of information, changing of rules. I mean, these things just constantly are in flux. I think it's just like anything else that you attempt, right? You have to sort of blindfold yourself in some way and throw the dart at the dartboard and then try to figure out which way works for you, if at all.
Right. Was my podcast and being my friend anyway?
Yeah.
It was.
Well, yes. Yes. The early aspects of the conversations predates your podcast and being friends with you.
Uh-huh.
What I have found in the last year is that I've had certain beliefs that didn't have names associated with them. And then once those names have been introduced to me, it helps me refine something that I already kind of felt. So, for example, I feel like you can separate sex from emotions.
Okay.
Not necessarily that you have to, but I feel like you can be friends with someone and have sex with them. And it not be romantic, necessarily. They could be deep friendships. You can have sex with them, and they can just sort of maintain at that level.
When you talk romantic, you mean tantamount to a ongoing monogamous relationship?
Not even just that. No? Not even just that. I mean, it doesn't have to be monogamous. I mean, no. I think it's very feasible that you can have a friend, and just like the many different things that you do with your friend that you enjoy, sex can be a part of that.
Gotcha. Like, okay, I've got fwobs. I've got lots of fwobs who I'll give them, like, shoulder massages.
What's
or
a flob?
A fwob, not a flob.
What's a flob? Frogs?
A fwob.
Listen, so, I'm not judging if you have frogs.
Like in the 90s, of course, with...
Because we're old as fuck.
In the 90s...
I'm 65 years old, just so everyone knows.
So you're familiar with Friends.
Yeah.
And they, I believe, coined the term friends with benefits.
Ah, gotcha. FWB.
Is a friend without benefits.
Which you have many.
Which I have many. And I'm telling you, I understand exactly why now. Because I read in Mark Manson's book, Models, about how women, generally speaking, are very neutral before they meet a guy. But within a very short period of time of meeting that guy, they will be polarized in one direction or another.
Okay.
Now, if you play it like the non-creepy, nice guy...
Yeah,
which I always do because I'm afraid of being that weird guy who's hitting on them overtly sexually, they will automatically polarize to see you as a friend, not as a potential sexual interest. Because evolutionarily speaking, if I'm not pushing myself in a sexual way at them, even in a politically correctly way, they're not going to want to waste their time with me. They want to find a guy who is.
Sure. I don't think that makes it creepy, though.
No, well, again, this is what I'm reading in the book. He says that you've got to be comfortable in your own sexuality, not be ashamed of it.
Sure.
But growing up in England, I had that sense of shame with being overtly sexual to a girl. I'd cringe when a guy would go up to a girl and go, oh, I think you're really hot. Let's go on a date, or can you give me your number? Now, they were doing it rather brusquely and rather bluntly, and it didn't get a good result. So maybe that was why I was cringing.
Right.
But you can do it that overtly as long as you're confident and you own it. And again, he talks about being non-needy, but that was always my issue, I think, growing up.
Well, I think for me, where I seem to have, for lack of a better term, success, is that I've never, when I was single, and now that we're exploring more openness in a relationship, I've never felt the need to have sex.
Or, what do you mean?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I constantly have the need to want to have sex. But what I mean is I don't necessarily see someone that I'm interested in and be like, my goal is to have sex with this person. It's never been my goal, ever.
Okay.
It just so kind of happens, you know, which doesn't mean that I see them and I don't want to have sex with them. It's just not on the forefront of what my intentions are. Generally, I just want to hang out, just have a good time, chit-chat, talk. If it easily transitions into flirting, because flirting's fun.
Right.
If flirting easily transitions into physical contact and or sex, then great. That's awesome. But it's never my intention.
Right.
Like, I would just be just as easily content to meet someone, have a good time, right? If I go out to a bar or I go out to a show, my intention is not to get laid.
Right.
And I think that is a recipe for failure. As a result of that, I feel like maybe I'm bridging what you're talking about. I'm not being the creepy guy who's being overtly asking for sex. I'm not saying, hey, let's go back to my room.
Hmm.
Right? That's aggressive. And maybe it works for some people. But I'm also not the guy who's, you know, friend zoned right away as well because I'm playing it too nice. So I'm sort of living in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm a flirty guy by nature.
Right.
I definitely maybe push the envelope more than some.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I do it in a creepy way. And I'm definitely not doing it just so I can get laid. Because I think that that's when people put walls up.
Right. Right. And this has obviously had to come back into play now because obviously for the first few years or however long of your marriage, that was all out the window.
Right.
And you hear about people who've been married for 10, 15, 20 years and it breaks down, they get divorced and they're thrown back into the world.
You have to re-remember how to operate with people. And plus it's way more complicated now because you have to be honest. You have to be honest with people. You
know? What do you mean?
Well, if you're single, you just go out and you chit-chat with the person and you go home with them and that's the end of the story. You don't need to have any further conversation necessarily.
Right.
Maybe at some point you introduce the idea that you're not interested in becoming monogamous or you're not interested in becoming serious or whatever the phrasing you may use. Whereas now, because I'm in a relationship, I have to introduce that. At some point, that conversation needs to occur. And if there is any ongoing contact, be it virtually or in person, they have to understand that they will always be secondary to my relationship.
Right.
And there is no chance of that adjusting or changing. Because the difference between the way you and I potentially portray this is, again, these are friends of mine whom I care about. I think they're great people and awesome and what have you. We might introduce sex or some sort of sexual activity into the friendship, but I won't allow it to go beyond that. Because I'm in a relationship and I don't need to be in multiple relationships. I need to increase my sexual contact.
Right. So you could be looked at more as, I want to say, a swinger because that would involve your partner as well. But I think when people use the term polyamory, they are talking about multiple loves.
Sure.
But again, maybe that's just an issue with semantics. I think ultimately, as human beings, it's tough to find two people who match on a sexual scale for that to last for the rest of their lives.
I think also for me, it helps make the process simpler because, A, I don't have the desire. I don't really need to be in relationships with multiple people. I just don't have that in me.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied for most of the aspects of my relationship.
Yeah.
I don't need to introduce that.
Right.
But also, my experience is that you can preface as much as you want, what your intentions are and emotions are emotions what they are. And sometimes people get far more attached and have expectations that supersede what you're capable of giving.
You've seen it.
And I have experienced it on a couple of different levels.
Where Instagram. I've had
to, social media is one of those kind of weird things where you're only talking.
Right.
So there's a connection. Yeah, sure. Some of that talk is sexual, but like you're also just talking. So you're immediately connecting because I feel like if you met someone in person, you fill your day with activities. You go to the movies, you go to a bar, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You do stuff and you're not just talking. When you're online or on whatever, you only talk.
Right.
So it's really easy to connect with someone that way. It's really easy for someone to get attached. And no matter how many times you sort of stated what the situation is, they will hold on to hope that that will somehow change. Or they will try to push beyond that boundaries into something else. And listen, I get it. I'm sure there's a part of their life that is momentarily fulfilled by this, but it's ultimately not what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And it's no different than when you're single. This happens all the time to single people. And sometimes you just have to say, it's not working. You got to stop talking completely. Because this has moved beyond a place that I'm comfortable with and that's respectful to the setup of my relationship. And it needs to be done. Like it was very, very clear, very, very open in the beginning. And it's moved beyond that. So sometimes some people understand it and some people you just have to say we no longer.
Enough's enough. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of the online world is that you're allowing people's imaginations to take control. Again, in Mark Manson's book, he talks about a friend who met this girl in South America somewhere. Mm-hmm. I think he actually met her for a day or two, right, and came back and was like, I've met this girl,
right,
and she's different than everybody I've ever met.
Right, right.
And they start talking and it takes them a while, and then they arrange like a week somewhere in the Caribbean, and they both, he pays for her to go. And within like a day or 2 days,
they hate each other.
Yeah, they realized that the only thing they shared in common was this imaginary connection.
Fantasy. But that's the thing also, you have to keep perspective.
Mm.
Because I'm not as amazing as any of these people. I mean, I'm pretty awesome. But I'm not as amazing as some of these people think that I am.
Yeah.
Because they're only seeing, you know, the sun. And right. They don't see the moon.
Yeah. Right?
They don't see when I'm cranky. Don't see when I'm in a bad mood, when I'm stressed out. Like that, none of that gets brought to the table because that's not fun. You don't need to bring that to the table.
Hmm.
You know, I have outlets for that that are, in my opinion, I don't want to say healthier, but they're immediate.
Right.
They're trusted, I guess is the better phrase.
Yeah.
So I have outlets for that. So my closest friends, my relationship, sees that part of me, understands that part of me. The fantasy part doesn't ever see that.
Right.
So then you start being you're not only a handsome man, but you say all the right things and you're always in cheery and blah, 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 blah. None of that shit's real.
Hmm.
Right? You and I were at this group. It was a polyamory group, and they introduced the term to me, which was, I think it was new relationship feeling.
And new relationship energy, NRE.
Yeah. And it's essentially an extension of that. That's really kind of what online sort of, when you talk to people on relationships are, it's just NRE. For an extended period of time, because you never get to that point where the example that you just gave, you're actually in person, and that wears off generally pretty fast.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
So it's a weird world to navigate. And for me, keeping strong boundaries in place helps mitigate that risk, although it still occurs.
Right. But for me, the biggest interesting thing here is from you now to you a year and a half ago, when, you know, we talked at great length about my world views, is that you've now got a lot more experience living arguably some of those world views, but we're still not on the same page because I don't feel like I want a ongoing sexual relationship for the rest of my life necessarily, and then lots of, or even a few, casual partners on the outside. I'm more of what I guess is termed relationship anarchy.
Sure.
Where no one specific relationship has to take priority than another, other than the relationship with my child, if I'm lucky enough to have a child. And that was a big factor as well when we used to talk.
I still have
concerns.
Yeah, because again, there's a honeymoon phase for everything.
Yeah.
And part of being in a long-term relationship and what that provides is the opportunity to get past that honeymoon period, that early relationship period, and get to the sort of warts of a person.
Okay.
And then determining if you want to actually be around that person for a long period of time. Now, traditionally, it's a monogamous relationship, and traditionally, what you're really trying to factor in more than anything is whether you want to be around that person on a romantic level or even a social level. But in this instance, what you have to ask yourself is, this the kind of person that I'm partnered with potentially the rest of my life, definitely until my child's an adult,
right,
in a different kind of intimate way, right?
Yes.
So you really have to lean on this person for support, but also making sure that they're going to institute the same values that you have, or at least introduce good values that maybe you don't have for the child's welfare. And also the two of you have to work out some example for what the child's going to base their future relationships on. And again, it doesn't have to be traditional. And I think if you remember when we talked a year ago, I don't necessarily think it has to be traditional.
Yeah.
I do think there are some key things that need to be introduced.
Right.
I think it's super important for a young person in their development age to see a loving, touching relationship of some sort.
Yes.
I also think it's really important to reduce arguing and saying hurtful things in front of the child.
Yeah.
I think these are things that don't necessarily have to be in a monogamous relationship and often aren't in a monogamous relationship.
Right.
But they still need to be introduced. And I think I used the example of like a single parent.
Yeah.
Right? I have no qualms about someone deciding to have a child on their own. but the child still needs to see some sort of intimacy because they will base that in future relationships. And I've experienced with partners I've had that a lack of growing up seeing that level of intimacy can cause issues.
Yeah, 100%. I'm totally on board. But you've seen me with Eri, and sure, we're very affectionate.
Yeah.
The question, I guess, is do you need to actually be having sex, ongoing sex, to be able to maintain that level of affection? Because I don't think so. Because I think if most people, if I had a kid with any of my fwobs, you know,
yeah,
I don't think anybody would think we weren't sleeping together.
No, and look, in my personal experience, even if you were in a monogamous relationship, you might not continue to have sex with each other because people, right, people, you know what I'm saying? People ebb and flow through different phases. So that might go away organically. Yeah,
right.
But no, so no, I don't think that. I think now my new concerns, not concerns, my new cautions would be that you need to give this partnership time to make sure it's the right thing and that the things that are important to you, the issues that are important to you, the lifestyle choices that you want to make are in sync with your potential partners and not just in theory, but in actuality. And that, to me, takes time because, again, just like in my experience with telling someone, hey, listen, this is just a purely sexual experience.
Yeah.
And then a month down the line or a few weeks down the line, then they are starting to ask for something more. And it's not, it's nothing wrong with that. Sure. I understand it.
But it is a month or a few weeks down the line.
Right.
The question is it a question of 3 months, 6 months, a year? Or is it the amount of time, the depth that you talk? Because we talked at depth.
Yeah.
And
I think it's less talking. I think it's less being around each other. And I don't know what that time period is.
Yeah.
I could throw out wild numbers and they, it's all different to different relationships, right? Sure. Some people date for 5 years before they determine they want to have a baby or marriage or whatever it may be, right? Yep. Some people 6 months. So I don't know what that is.
Right.
I think that talking is not so different in a way from what we were talking about with the online stuff. It's just talking, right? It's just theorizing.
Mm-hmm.
But you need practical time together to make sure that what you're talking about is actually applied in real experiences. Right. For example, you and I talked a year ago. I didn't have these experiences. We're talking a year later. Now I have practical experiences. And my viewpoints might not be completely different than they were, but they're now have something more concrete that I can relate to.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. You need time together. You need to go through some of these things, i.e., are they going to be comfortable with you having another primary? Or for them not to be the primary. Maybe that's the better way to phrase it. Mother of your child, not the primary relationship. Maybe not a relationship at all.
Mm.
Romantically.
Right, romantically.
Are these things going to be okay with them?
Mm.
Might be okay in theory.
Yeah.
And then it happens and then emotion takes over. And maybe it's something you work through.
Sure. But here's the thing as well. It could be I could wait 5 years if it was possible chronologically, which it isn't. But I could. Then she gets pregnant and everything goes out the window and
you're
she
right.
completely changes. So to a certain extent, it has to be a gamble. But that's every decision you make in life.
Right. But you could make it an educated gamble.
Yeah.
You could buy a car.
Right.
On a whim. And yes, it might be awesome and it might be a lemon.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do research.
Absolutely.
Now, what that is, you'll know your own comfort level.
Right.
But I think that to some degree, you have to make sure you put that time in.
Yeah.
Because it's unlike a car that you maybe own for 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 18 to 25 to 30 year old investment.
Right.
So.
But in this particular situation, there is certainly the onus on moving, I don't want to say quickly, but expeditiously in the sense of, let's say I wait 6 months to a year and then we just can't get pregnant.
That's a possibility. But also, you could start tomorrow and not get pregnant.
This is true as well.
Right?
Right, right.
So
everything is swings and roundabouts, and there's no way of having an absolute. There's no way of saying this is an absolute time. You've got to go to a certain extent with your gut. I had dinner with Rachel tonight, one of my previous potential parenting partners. And I said to her, what do you think? You know, am I being crazy? And she said, look, I've, as in she, has always been bold and willing to take risks and forge ahead. And she said 85% of the time it's worked out as well as she expected or better.
Sure.
Now, every now and then it hasn't. But she says if you're that sort of person, you're willing to take risks, you're going to lead a more fulfilling, happier life than someone who's on the opposite side, like me, who's very risk averse and takes a lot of time to make decisions and will miss big opportunities because of it.
Right.
So she said if it was her, she'd do it, but it comes back to me and how comfortable I am and not with taking chances.
And not just you, because it's not like saying, like when I first started my job, that took me from the South to Los Angeles, that was a risk. That was me taking a risk, right? If it didn't work out, I could catch a bus, I could get back home.
Yeah.
This is not that kind of decision. This is a decision that doesn't just affect you, but also affects a child.
It does.
So I'm not saying you got to find the happy medium between the two. Like right now we're volleying back and forth these two sort of extremes.
Yeah.
And the answer really lies in the middle.
Yes.
But unfortunately, in my opinion, the fact that the ability to have a child may be more difficult in a year, I don't know if that should be the top priority in terms of timetable.
No, it's not the top priority, but it is a factor. It's certainly a valid factor. But I also want to say that you say 18 years of your life, the rest of your life, and that's a fair point, but it's not, I don't think, unless you choose to have a kid with someone who turns out to be this abhorrent serial killer psychopath.
Sure. Which you might, because it's your life. You're basically a walking Seinfeld episode. It's 100% like
it. But aside from that, if there are issues where, okay, I didn't see that, perhaps we don't see eye to eye on this, you'll kind of work it out. And if we all look at our own parents, there were things that me now, as a responsible, conscionable parenting partner, would probably gone, I wouldn't want to have a kid with someone who felt that way if I felt this sort of way. But I think we all do okay. And I'm reading a book about parenting now and what you should do to raise your baby the right way. My mum smoked and drank when she was pregnant with me.
But here's the thing, you're right. You, in theory, can work all these things out.
Yeah.
A, that's partially on you.
Right.
B, it's partially on your partner.
Yeah.
Because I've also seen the opposite, where parents never work it out. And they're fucking horrible towards each other. And the kid sees nothing but arguing.
Right.
And ask people who have had parents who have divorced when they were young.
Mm.
And I would guarantee that most of them saw a lot of traumatic hatred, outright hatred toward each other. That in theory over time subsides.
Right.
And maybe you could say, because it's a romantic attachment, that that's sort of the nexus of it. In theory, being more passionate towards someone would elicit more passionate response. Yeah. But not necessarily. And you could be dealing, again, I'm not saying this is going to, you could just be introducing a lot of stress that would potentially affect a child. Maybe not.
But that's with anyone. And this is what I'm saying. By trying to do it this way, I'm trying to avoid that. Right, I'm saying that a romantic, long-term monogamous relationship is more likely to encourage all of those aspects.
I don't know if that's the case, to be honest with you. Maybe. I think, though, what really should be the focus is giving yourself due time to know that it's the right person. The terms of the relationship, I think, are slightly less consequential, and making sure it's a sound decision is a little bit more of the focus. Because is it monogamy that necessarily leads to these things, or is it making a poor life partner decision?
Yeah.
Right? Because there's plenty of other monogamous relationships or poly relationships or whatever that are fantastic.
Yeah.
I think really the key is you got to choose your right dance partner.
Yeah.
And that just takes... I don't know. I don't know what the time frame is. I just, you got to know it. Yep. You got to know it, and you got to feel comfortable with it, because it is a long-term decision. You got to feel, God, could you imagine feeling like especially you, because I know you, like having that sense of, did I make the wrong decision for the rest of your life? That would suck.
Right.
Not just for your kid, but for you, for your own
health.
So again, you know what? In a month, you might say, yeah, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. This is going to be good. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be bumps along the road. But though I know, I feel confident that they will be worked out in a responsible manner.
Right.
Or a month could go by and you could be like, this is not working.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't know. But
listen, I Skyped with my sister the other day and I told her about my feelings, and she said, well, how close do you feel you are? I said, you know, pretty close, like, you know, 90-10, something like that. And are going to win this or there, but there's a good chance I'll have been to England with Eri for 2 weeks at that point, so I spent a significant amount of time then together anyway. But when I said that to my sister, she said, well, I think there's something to be said for the fact that you never felt that close with Supermum or Rachel in the past.
Right.
And certainly with Rachel, you could have done it. The opportunity was certainly there.
Well, I think that this is the most sound path thus far.
Hmm.
I think when you go to visit England and come back, I think you'll have a much, much clearer picture.
Yeah.
Because there's something to be said for vacations that sort of bring out the best or worst of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't go home to your separate homes. You're sort of stuck with each other for 2 weeks or a week, and that really exposes people.
Gotcha. You know, especially, she expects me to ejaculate every second day.
For what? How does that work?
Healthy sperm.
Is that how that works?
Apparently.
So what if I do it twice a day? Am I like have like super sperm?
What do you mean?
Like if I ejaculate twice
a day? Oh, sorry. I thought you meant... No, that's disgusting.
I'm not going to ejaculate you twice every 2 days. That would be weird.
Oh, fucking hell. Apparently to healthy sperm, you've got to sort of clear the tubes
I must literally have the healthiest sperm alive.
Right.
I think mine could have a child without the need of a woman.
I got the laziest sperm. They're all sat down there playing fucking poker, you know? Red light hasn't gone off for like 2 weeks.
Well, listen, you know... Squeeze into a room for 2 weeks of your time, day in, day out, that's going to be very telling.
Yeah.
Very, very telling.
Right.
And I feel like, we've always talked about these time frames, I feel like after this vacation, you're going to either know, you're going to have clarity.
Yeah, I agree.
To some degree.
I agree. I think that was a good decision for her to come over, and we'll get a good sense of that now for sure.
And by the way, I think that's true for all kinds of relationships. That first vacation,
long
vacation, not like a weekend away, but a proper vacation, those things say a lot.
Right.
Much like the example that you gave of this couple, meet for a couple of days, it's all rosy.
Yeah.
Then they go on a vacation and they're exposed. Like it could have been amazing.
Yeah.
Or it could have been horrible, but that was the telling thing because you're forced together.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily retreat.
Yep. Definitely going to have some value, and it may have already happened by the time this airs. So
Who knows?
That'd be one of those weird juxtapositions. But I think I'll be in somewhat of a similar situation as you are because you now are trying to date other people.
I wouldn't say date.
Okay. You are trying to be...
I occasionally have sexual encounters with other people.
Okay.
With friends. People who I make friends with.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Whereas perhaps I'll be looking for more of genuine... And to be honest with you, I kind of am now, ironically, as you're sort of moving towards non-monogamy, I'm almost feeling... Not that I'm ever going to feel monogamous in and of itself, but that I might be okay with being functionally monogamous.
Well, I know that you've never, to me, introduced any sort of sense of having a primary.
Yeah.
And there's never really been that person that you felt like, this would be my main person. And then the parameters of the openness will sort of define themselves from that, right? Whereas I have a core relationship that I'm very protective of, right? That's very important to me. And anything else above that should be to sort of enhance it. You've never talked that way. For you, you've sort of always treated romantic interest like your friends, right?
Yeah.
Like you hang out with me, you get a certain thing out of it. You hang out with another friend, you get a certain other thing out of it. Like you might favor one friend a little bit more than the other, but they all bring something different to the table and you're totally fine having multiple friends. Right? Versus what you're talking about now, if we're going to keep the friend analogy, is like having a best friend that you spent almost all your time with. And then you occasionally see other friends again to enhance that.
Right.
And maybe, and maybe if you're lucky, debatable, your best friend goes with you to hang out with other friends sometimes. That would be really fun. But that's never been in your vocabulary. And it seems like there's the possibility that could be.
Right.
You'd be at least open to it.
So every year I write a diary every day, and every year I write New Year's resolutions, and I write my perfect next year, this would happen, and I write out a list of all these different things. I've done it every year, for God, for the last 20 years.
How many times have threesome been on the top of the list?
Like every fucking year, I would have a threesome. I would have a threesome.
Listen, it's early in the year. It's still time. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
Because I've had one. It was awesome.
Right.
I think you need to find two people who are already in a relationship of some sort.
Okay.
two partners, and you need to be the third. I think that is the easiest, stressless way of approaching it.
But so it would be a guy and a girl.
Not necessarily. How bigoted of you? Look at you with your fucking Puritan beliefs. Man. It could be two women.
Okay.
Women can have relationships too, Nigel.
Well, this is true.
It could also be two men. However, I'm not judging you. I will march
given
in
the fact that I know lots and lots of people in gay, bisexual relationships, whatever.
Yeah.
I would say that most lesbian couplings are not looking
that's very true.
For a creepy British guy.
That's true. However, I can tell you from personal experience that a lesbian couple was totally down to bring a hot, handsome, dark-skinned, full head of hair, roguishly charmed devil into bed with them.
Really?
Yeah.
That was your story?
Yeah, I didn't tell you that. Yeah, it was like a lesbian couple.
Getty fuck.
Yeah. I broke up with an ex-girlfriend, and that same day I went to go float down the river for a birthday party. And over the course of the floating, I met two ladies who wanted to have a good weekend, and I went back to their hotel with them. And then I went home the next morning. It was all good.
You see, this is the thing, though. You
are awesome.
Are getting all my fucking luck. Like somewhere up in the heavens. The balance, the scales of luck.
Have you ever seen the movie Twins?
You're fucking Danny DeVito.
You are.
Fuck off.
You're the Danny DeVito.
I'm like 4 inches taller than you.
You are. And I've had way more fun sex than you, though.
I don't know if that's true. I'm okay with.
I'm sure you are. But in terms of things that we have done and experienced, I just have push that envelope a bit further than you have.
Right. You've got more tattoos than me.
That's true. And I'm probably handsomer.
No, I don't think so. Let's
take a poll.
How are we going to do that?
So they won't see me. They're just... So based on my voice alone, can you put in the comment section who you think sounds more handsome?
Well, that's not relevant.
Why not?
Because that only works in a world where everyone's blind.
That's okay.
We're getting off topic. Probably. I think the point of
we
the
do
matter
that all the
is,
time.
I think the point of the matter is
you need to have a threesome.
I don't know if I do. Be honest with you, I think
you have to do it once. To check it off your bucket list. Just to say you've done it. It'd be a fun time. Go find some partners. Look, you have social media. Put a post up that says, you know, handsome, ripped British guy looking for a potential threesome. DM, slide into them DMs if you're interested. And just see how quickly you get fired. Because I'm imagining pretty quickly.
Pretty interesting stuff, eh? Next week, we have the second part of the interview as we delve into what I need to do to move forward positively in my dating life and how I've developed over this last year. But I need to own my sexuality, and if I like a girl, I need to be able to say, I like you.
Right.
And that's okay.
And it's totally fine. And if she says she does not like you, that's okay also.
And boy, has that happened.
Well, you really got to write a book about it. Some of the stories you tell me, like, it's like a TV show. You've determined over time through experiences that one night stands or sexually only experiences are not what you're looking for. Whereas a year ago, you may not have been able to say that. In fact, I know for a fact a year ago, you were like, I gotta have sex. I never have sex. Right? That was a big thing for you. You're like, why is everyone having sex but me? No one's having sex but me.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth. Another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question. Or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule.